And welcome everyone to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Miles, and this is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer, because your career is about more than the code you write. So if you call yourself a programmer, a developer, a script kiddie, a database administrator, a technologist, a technical architect, whatever you call yourself, if it's your job to write code, this is the podcast for you. And to all the new listeners out there, I want to say welcome. Thanks for joining us. And for all the repeat listeners, hey, thanks for coming back and listening to another episode.
And this is episode 35. That's 3-5, which means the show notes for this episode are available at developingup.com/35. Networking plays an important part in your career. I don't mean computer networking. I mean people networking, networking with others to build up yourself and to learn. In this episode, I sit down with Chris Free, who is the partner and creative director of Chromatic, a distributed digital agency. And Chris and I, we talk about the value of being able to network with other people for your development career. So you're going to hear me and Chris talk about networking, and then afterwards, we'll come back and distill it down to a couple of key points.
Chris, thank you for taking the time to be on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
In the middle of all this busy conference that we're at a tech conference, and I know it can be hard to find time in between all the constant learning of the new things.
So yeah, the days are full. They sure are. They're heavy.
So why don't you start off by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself and your history of development?
Yeah, sure. So I started making websites in high school, actually. So in about 1999 was when I first started writing HTML. And I got really interested in sort of just creating stuff digitally. I was doing some independent study with an art teacher of mine who was, you know, sort of just leading the way at the high school. Fast forward to college, I studied interactive media at Bradley University in Peoria. I had a great mentor there that really sort of shepherded my, you know, just learning how to make things digitally. Graduated in 2006 and moved into working for an advertising agency outside Chicago. And at that time, I had a pretty generic degree in interactive media. I had a pretty wide skill set. I thought I was going to do like After Effects for motion pictures and things. It turned out there were no jobs in Chicago for that. So I ended up as a programmer, but I wasn't very good. And that was just because those were the jobs that were available. And today, you know, about 10 years later, I run a company called Chromatic. We're a digital agency and we're a distributed company, 15 employees. And I have two business partners, and it's been a pretty wild ride.
I'm going to make the assumption that in that progression of your career, there's been a lot of times where you've had to lean on the people in your network that you've met or the connections you've made to help progress your career or just, you know, output better work and get better at what you do.
Yeah, I mean, without the people that I've surrounded myself with, some intentionally and some just sort of out of pure luck, you know, I don't know, I wouldn't be where I am today, you know. I mentioned my mentor in university. He had a major impact on my life. He sort of introduced me to lots of people that I now, my business partner, Dave, he's somebody that was introduced to me through this mentor. And now we've built a business together. And beyond that, so many of our clients are just born of the people come to meet at conferences and had been lucky to collaborate with. And our network is seriously the lifeblood of our organization. I mentioned this in my talk today, but I would say that 80 to 90% of our work comes through people we already know. You know, there's very few of our clients anyways that are people we've never met before that sign on to do a couple $100,000 worth of work. It just doesn't happen. You got to build that trust with folks and build that network up. And beyond that, so many of the people that I've come to meet in this industry, they turn into employees, they turn into clients, people you just sort of run into and start a casual conversation with at a conference, and you end up on their podcast.
Yeah, like we're here exactly, right now. Yeah.
And it makes such a big difference in this industry. And I don't have experience in any other industry, so I can't speak to that, but I can say that in this industry, it seems like your network is sort of critically important. You know, if I wasn't running a company, I would be focused on, if I needed to find a job, I would be focused on, like, who am I surrounding myself with? Who is better than me that I want to be like? Who can I emulate? Who can I get into? Whose orbit can I get into that's going to help me get to where I want to go or land that next job?
So there's a lot of what you just said that I want to break down a little bit. First things is learning these things and going to networking events and conferences. You learn over time and the importance of it, but I'm going to make an assumption for the listeners that a lot of developers aren't as outgoing,
yeah,
or it can be hard to move into that. It can be very overwhelming to,
for sure.
You may know that networking, building connections is important, but taking that first leap into doing that can be very hard. And one of the things to remind yourself is that, you know, the value you do get from it, you brought up
surrounding yourself with people that either become employees or, you know, they're coworkers or they're just connections, and the value from that being a developer, no matter what technology you work with, one, there is a community around your technology. I mean, you found it because people have blogged about it or posted about it. And finding those other people that share that passion gives you a little in to start a conversation with someone because you know you have something in common. If you go to a conference, like we're at a conference today for a technology we both work with, and so you can approach anybody at this conference and be like, hey, I know you work with this technology. How do you use it? Let's compare notes. And you start a connection that way. And then from there, you can start to grow it or you can ask people for help. So it can be intimidating at first, but you have to figure out what's the one piece you have in common with someone and what value can it be for asking them about it.
I totally agree. Networking, meeting new people absolutely terrifies me. And I can say that I'm still really, I struggle with it. Like meeting a new person and like having a conversation, although ours is going pretty well, I'd say, is kind of terrifying to me. I'm the type of person who like has a short amount or a small amount of really, really close friends. And that is only because we've been gotten to know each other over years and years and countless interactions, the trust building things that have happened over time. So, you know, if I made it sound like it's something easy, I didn't mean to. It is definitely very difficult for me. I've been really lucky to be surrounded by people who are either really good at it or can fake it. And I would be lying if I said it wasn't intentional that the business partners I've chosen happen to be really good at those things. They are way better at it than I am. And it's made all the difference in the world. These are the guys that can go start up a conversation with a perfect stranger, somebody that we're interested in talking to for business purposes or maybe collaboration purposes, or just somebody that we find really interesting, or, you know, just gave a great talk at a conference or what have you. They're really good at that. I'm not as good, you know, and there's obviously ways sort of around that. You know, if I have a beer or two, maybe I come a little become a little bit more relaxed and have a little bit more confidence in doing that. But, you know, it's definitely really difficult. I will say that the times that I've put myself out there, the times that I've kind of taken a leap of faith, most times it's fine. It turns out totally fine. And if it doesn't, you know, you probably never see that person again anyway. So it's going to be all right.
Keeping that in mind, if you have a hard time approaching new people to make those connections, that it's no big deal if the connection doesn't work. The worst thing that could happen is that you don't do anything at all. There's some general phrase about that. I know there is, but
are you talking about imposter syndrome?
Imposter syndrome holds true for that.
I was kind of picking that up. It's just sort of, or maybe that's the direction I wanted to take the conversation, but I certainly feel that even today, you know, running an agency for most people would call it successful. I would say we've got a long way to go. But we have real employees, we have benefits, we have all those things. And I still feel like I'm faking it, you know. And I go to these other conferences, sort of retreats for other business owners, other digital agency owners, and they all feel exactly the same way. And I think that's true even back when I was doing pure development work, is every person I actually met and was able to have some kind of connection with, they felt exactly the same way. No one is 100% confident. And if they are, there's probably something else going on. They're probably not as good as they think, you know. There's so many really good people out in this world, despite, you know, what's going on in the world. And sometimes it may not feel that way. There are still so many great people out there. And doing yourself a disservice in this industry if you're not trying to connect with other individuals.
One trick that I found that is helpful, it kind of turns imposter syndrome on its head, where if you are like, well, I'm not the type of person who can just walk up to someone and have a conversation, think about what sort of person do you know could be that way? And then it's almost like you put a mask on, like assume that role.
Absolutely.
And just be like, well, I can't do this, but this person could. So imagine how would they handle the situation? Absolutely. You know, it's fake it till you make it.
Absolutely. And then
the more you do that, eventually it starts to become part of your personality. You can more easily do it. You don't have to focus so much energy.
Totally. I do that every time I'm at one of these conferences. I think, what would Mark or what would Dave, my two business partners, what would they do?
Yep.
And they would have set their shoulders. They'd be upright. They're both tall, both pretty handsome. And they would just go for it, you know. And I try to do that. Most times it doesn't happen. But, you know, I try exactly.
It's a mental mindset that you set. Like, it gives you that positive platform to start from, because then it's not you in the situation. It's you emulating them in the situation.
So if it doesn't work out, I'd say that.
It's their fault. Yeah. To show my nerdiness, my go-to persona for when I started doing it was actually the Doctor from Doctor Who.
Okay.
I would just be like, well, what would the Doctor do in this mundane situation? I was like, he'd just go for it. He'd just be wild, because it doesn't really matter that big of a deal. So I'd always like jump in the middle of things. Yeah. Like, sure, I can help out. I can try this thing.
Yeah.
And eventually you get to do it. And then another thing you brought up was, you know, having conversations with people and then not being able just to start talking to anyone about anything. I think there are tricks you can use or techniques you can use to help the conversation going, keep you a part of it, but you don't have to necessarily lead it. One of the things is just being good at asking questions, because mm-hmm. people love talking about themselves, or yep. certain people do. So you can get a lot of information by just asking leading questions.
Yep.
And then it's less effort on your part if you're not comfortable talking about yourself, but you're still part of it and you start building connections until you get more comfortable with someone, then you can have a more two-way conversation.
Yeah, that definitely is a great tip. I'm a particular person who does not like talking about myself. I start to sweat at the beginning of this podcast when I'm talking about,
I apologize for putting you through that.
No, it's all right. Just my, you know, my track to get here is, you know, I start to sweat. You know, I just feel uncomfortable talking about myself. Another tip someone that works for me mentioned to me recently was just that the best way to start a conversation with a perfect stranger is to compliment them. And don't be sincere. Don't just make something up. But if somebody's got a really nice jacket on, or she was saying like, oh, I love that girl's dress, I'm going to go over there and compliment her and watch. And now she was telling me, perfect stranger she met at a party, a networking event that we were at, they now FaceTime. And she's going to go, they're friends. They, wow. Like, this happened because she just went over and said, I really like your dress. So, you know, stuff's really powerful.
I mean, that's something that you can approach easily. Make a compliment that's sincere. Be like, hey, I like your glasses. Where'd you mm-hmm. get them from? It's like, oh, I got them from this shop, you know, in downtown Chicago. It's like, oh, you're from Chicago. And you start building, as long as you're not asking just like yes, no questions, just like leading questions, and you start peeling back layers, and eventually you'll find something that you have in common. And that gives you a common ground to then build from, and it's less scary that way.
For sure.
And so I think another thing, especially at a networking event, where like at a conference where there's a lot of people you either want to meet, or the person you're talking to, they may be in the situation where they want to meet people as well.
Mm-hmm.
It can be hard, especially if you're just getting better at talking with people, stopping conversation when it has its endpoint, because you don't want to be early on when you're first meeting someone having that awkward pause, just be like, hey, nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like nothing. You're kind of just hovering there.
Right.
So learning how to get out of a conversation to either go network with somebody else, or, you know, if you're just feeling like your energy is being taken, like you can't sustain it, you want to leave on it.
Mm-hmm.
Good note. So I always find it's good to say like, hey, it was great talking to you. I want to, you know, go talk to someone else. I'm going to have to run the bathroom or something.
Yeah. And you know, there's other ways to just sort of, you know, I really hope you enjoy the conference. Yeah, that definitely, it's one of those things. It's probably something you learn over time, the sort of the outs of that.
Yeah.
But you can feel it.
Yep.
And everyone feels it, you know,
right.
And they're feeling it too. So like you're doing them a favor as well when you're just like, it's real. And if they're not feeling it and you are, you need to get out of there sooner than later.
And the problem is because if you are that person who kind of just leeches on, if you're like, yes, I talked to one person, I'm going to just talk to this person.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing yourself a disservice and them a disservice. And then any positive interactions you've had is going to quickly turn negative, and you're not building a connection that way.
Yep.
So learning how to leave a conversation, just having an exit strategy, whether you feel like it's time for you to end it or you can feel they're getting a little tense about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because from there, the next time you see that person, you'd be like, hey, remember I met you at that conference.
Yep.
Good to see you again. You mentioned also surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you.
Absolutely.
I would say as a developer, someone who has an ego, this can be hard to swallow. But what sort of benefits do you see from that?
Well, I mean, specifically with regards to development, they're probably going to make you better. Having code review process, this is like one of the best ways that you can raise the level of your own skills is having someone else review your code and that sort of thing. You know, I think the same is true with networking. Like I said, I surround myself with people who are much better at it than I am. And in turn, I'm sort of in their network, in their orbit when they're meeting these folks. It makes me better at it. I start to get more comfortable. I'm included in a conversation. They introduce me, that sort of thing. So you asked about being smarter, and I sort of got off on being better at networking.
No, that's fine. That's part of it.
You know, I have found that my career and my organization, you know, getting back to sort of the surrounding yourself with people that are smarter or maybe better than you, or that you think are better than you at certain things, is really important. If you're building a company, sure, it's going to raise the water level of your company, but it's just made me better as a person. Being exposed to people who are good communicators or good writers or have a completely different history and upbringing and perspective on life, and that's been really good for me to grow as a person, as a leader, as you know, just somebody in this industry. It's been really you know, if I think back on my career, that everything that's ever happened to me is because of some relationship I've had. Every new job I had or new gig that we landed at the company is born out of those relationships. These things aren't just falling out of the sky. They're coming from people.
Yep. If you look at your own development career, the only way you've progressed is from something you've learned from somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And so even if you get great at networking, but then you only surround yourself with people that you feel like you're superior to, you're going to hit a wall. You're going to stagnate. Like, you want that challenge. You want to be able to turn and see, like, wow, they did something I would never think about. Let me go talk to them and figure out what was their process and figuring that out. And then you learn that, like, with networking with people and your business partners, if they're better at it than you are, but you're around them, you start to see how they do it and you start to get better at it.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, you're going to see the benefits of that.
Yeah.
You know, like your company, if you have hired a developer who's better than you, they're going to make your company better. Or surround yourself with people who are better at networking, they're going to make you better. And that's going to help your company out. Like, there's benefits all around.
Yeah, and it's going to help yourself out too. It's going to challenge you to be the best developer you can be.
Yeah.
So, Chris, I just want to ask one last question.
Sure.
It's always the hardest one.
Uh-oh.
What would be your one piece of non-technical career advice for developers out there?
Easy. I was so afraid to apply for jobs that I was, in my mind, not qualified for. I ended up building my own agency, but there are so many, even today, other companies that I really look up to and, you know, wonder, oh, what would have been like if I had applied there? And when I was a young developer, I was so scared that I wasn't good enough to work at these, you know, these other agencies that I really looked up to. And through networking over the years, I've come to know the owners and the hiring managers and the people at these other companies that I really looked up to. And they told me, we would have hired you in a minute. And I had no idea. I was so sure that I wasn't good enough. But I think, you know, don't sell yourself short. You're probably a lot better than you think. And if you are willing to put in the time and the hustle to, you know, get good at your craft, you can land that job. Like, for real. I sold myself short for way too long. And, you know, just go for it. There are so many other good mentors out there that can see. I think the good organizations will see in people that what they're capable of. And the best organizations will grow those people. So don't be afraid. Go for those jobs. What's the worst that happens? You know?
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just try. That would be my advice.
I think that's very helpful advice. Thank you for that. All right, Chris, thank you for being on the podcast. Really appreciate you taking the time again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was good to meet you.
Likewise.
All right. And I want to thank Chris again for taking the time at that technology conference to sit down with me and record what I think was a very fruitful and positive conversation on the value of networking for your development career. If you want to know more about Chris, you can find him on Twitter at Chris Free. That's ChrisFree. And his company, again, is Chromatic. And you can find him online at ChromaticHQ.com. I'll link to both in the show notes. An interesting side note about this episode. That was the first time Chris and I had ever talked to each other. When I was heading down to this technology conference, I sent out a message on social media saying I was looking to record episodes of my podcast. Chris was one of the people who responded. And it just goes to show you, putting yourself out there, finding new connections, affords all sorts of opportunities. So a couple other key points that I hope you took away from this episode. First and foremost, your development career, it's not built in a vacuum. It's not developed by yourself. It's by you and the people you surround yourself with, your network of people. So the more people who share your passion for your technology, for development, that you can surround yourself with, the more opportunities you're going to get presented with to grow in the ways you want to. During the episode, Chris and I talked about how to find people to have a conversation with, methods for starting conversations, methods for keeping a conversation going and building a positive connection, and then importantly, how to end a conversation when it's time to move on. But I'd love to hear your tips and your methods for creating positive network connections with other professionals. So if you want to go to the show notes page for this episode, that's developingup.com/35. In our comments section, leave some notes about how you network with others and the values you found from it. I'd love to hear about it.
And if you want to share your further thoughts and opinions about this episode or any episode or just development in general, there's a number of outlets you can use. So there's the website, developingup.com, that features our full library of recorded episodes with show notes and sections for comments and conversations. You can find us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast or myself personally at MikeMiles86, or send a good old-fashioned email at hello@developingup.com or to me at Mike@developingup.com. And I'd greatly appreciate
appreciate your help in reaching a wider development audience. If you could leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you get your podcast, it helps other developers find this podcast and get better at their careers. So until the next episode, I wish you happy developing.